Great day, great day, everyone. We are back. I am back. I know I missed you guys so much. I haven't spoken to you guys since Easter Sunday. It's been a little busy with the ministry, but I'm back, and I'm honored, of course, to be here with you all today. We have a special treat for you guys today. I'm going to let you guys know about that soon, who's here with us. And, of course, I want to welcome you all to the globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. I want to remind you all that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion, grounded in faith and honor to our Father above. Praise God. We discuss various topics here related to supporting communities in all walks of life. Those of you who are joining us for the first time, I know we're attracting a very diverse audience, which I'm excited about. And I want to share with you the passion that I have growing spiritually and applying a lot of my life learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences, basically. I want to encourage you all to continue to support the podcast, the ministry. Give us your feedback, your views, and in turn, I promise you, you all will gain a wealth of knowledge by engaging in these dialogues. We hope to foster a deeper understanding of this intricate world of ours spiritually. So please continue to tune in each week with an open mind as we embark on this enlightening spiritual journey together. As always, we are going to start by setting a few ground rules so we can get off to a good start. Number one, we're going to listen and we're going to learn. You guys already know how this works. Number two, we're going to respect each other and we're going to provide receipts. Number three, we're going to try our very best, emphasis on try, not to use explicit language. Number four, I'm going to need you all to bring your authentic and most humorous self to the game. All right? And number five, if we are running short on time, I may need to interrupt either my co-host or special guest and advise you respectfully that we need to regroup. If you continue to chat and all you hear is me say I have to mute your mic, well, you know what time it is. And to you, our dear, dear, sweet audience, if you have any comments, please contribute to the call. We will definitely follow up and share your thoughts and comments in the very next podcast session. So, let me clear my throat as I would like to reintroduce a very special guest to the podcast. Yes, he is a co-host of ours. Mr. Thomas Lillard is back with us today to discuss a very hot topic, rich man and poor man. Boy, does he have a lot to say to you all today. I'm going to ask Mr. Lillard, how does he feel about being back with us? It's been a little while. How do you feel,
yes,
Mr. Lillard?
Thank you, Jewel. I am glad to be back. It has been quite a while, and I know you had some very special guests that you had on your last podcast, and then you had Miss Nina on her final up thing, but I am definitely glad to be back here, and I do have my voice back. Yes, I do.
Yes, 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 you do. With that being said, you know, guys, we always open up with scripture because we need a reference point. Before we go into our opinion, we will share with you what Father has to say about a topic such as this. And today's reference to our topic, rich man, poor man, is the rich man and Lazarus story in Luke chapter 16. Verses 19 through 31. Mr. Lillard, would you bless us today by reading that scripture before we open the discussion?
No problem, Jill, but please call me Thomas. Mr. Lillard sounds too formal. Okay, here it goes. So we start with 19. So verse 19, There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou and thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, and he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, nor one rose from the dead. And that's the end of that. What I'm thinking of is what they're saying here is a little bit of explanation. Apparently, the rich man is trying to say to Abraham, you know, look, I want Lazarus to give me some water, you know, because I'm thirsty here in this flames. And then he says, you know, please, can you, you know, let him do that? And then Abraham is responding back to the rich man and saying, basically, no, there's a wall between us, and he can't pass through to you, and you can't pass through to him. And then I think what the rich man was saying was, please have, you know, Lazarus go and talk to, you know, to Moses and the people there, and let them see that I have like five brothers. And I'm afraid that they may be tormented as well, and I don't want them to come to hell. So I'm thinking that if Lazarus steps forward and they see that he is, you know, is risen, that they will believe. And so that's what Abraham is basically saying. You know, Moses and the prophets have their way of saying things, and they can't be persuaded. I think that's what I understood. Is that what you're getting, Jewel?
Well, I interpreted it as slightly differently, right, with the ending. I think I agree with how you summarized it in the beginning, but towards the end, I think what is being said here is that these individuals had opportunities when Moses and the other prophets were there alive, telling them to follow the Lord, not to be greedy, not to be selfish, to share what you have and do it the right way. And if they didn't listen then, it's just too late for them.
Okay. So in other words, I got what you're saying because, well, he's already there in hell, the rich man, and so he's saying he's got five brethren that he says, I don't want them to come the same way. And then Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So I'm thinking what it's saying really here is saying that those brethren can go to Moses and tell them, you know, that they don't want to be the follow the same way as what their brother went. And so basically Abraham is saying, well, he's saying that, you know, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them, then this is what the rich man was saying, they will repent, especially if it's a man who had died. And then he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. So in other words, what Abraham is saying to them, look, these guys, these brethren of yours, they ain't listened to my Moses. They haven't listened to the prophets either. So what makes you think that this sending Lazarus is going to do any good? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
because they're already hardened in their hearts.
Yeah, here's what I'm thinking, Brother Thomas. I think that he wanted to give them a cheat sheet, right?
Yes.
Because
he's thinking,
well, you know, if you send someone that has already died, they will certainly believe the person from the afterlife, right?
Right.
That tells them to live the right way. And, you know, our father says, no, there's no cheat sheet, right? All of my children came on this earth. They had to experience the trials of this earth, and they had their free will to make a decision with the prophets and the chosen ones that I put on this earth. And if they choose, like you chose, not to do the right thing, not to listen to those prophets, well, they have to deal with the aftermath just like everyone else.
I agree. So in other words, yes, you know, it's like he wanted them to get a get out of jail free card, and basically Abraham saying no, that's not possible. You know, they had their chance, just like you had your chance, and they all have to, you know, suffer the consequences. So actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely, Thomas. I mean, when you think about the fact that, you know, we all have ancestors that walked this earth before us, and they have carried their own cross. You know, they had to decide whether they were going to chase wealth, whether they were going to chase immoral behaviors and so forth, or if they were going to try their best to live according to the purpose that God has placed in their life for their best destiny.
Yeah.
And for them to say, well, you know, I love my, you know, I'm giving an example. Those ancestors that passed away would say, well, I love my great grandchild Thomas. I want to warn Thomas about going the wrong way and not being as greedy as I was. And of course, you know, our loved ones would want to, at least we would want to hope our loved ones would want to.
I'd probably say, come on, let's have a party. Mm-hmm, no.
Let's have a fire party or something. But you want to hope that they right? Sit by the pit with us. No.
Right.
You would want to hope.
Yeah.
That. right? And sing Kumbaya.
Pass me a marshmallow. Thomas, there we go.
You see what I mean, Thomas? You make me very naughty. But like I said, they would want to tell their loved ones, hey, listen, that's not the direction you want to go in. You don't want to sacrifice family for wealth. You don't want to get so caught up in a lust demon that you can't come back from. Yeah, of course, you know. And I'm sure, you know, they even covertly try to come back as symbolic things, like the cardinal bird, to try to warn us and give us certain hints. They can't outright tell us because that would be a cheat sheet. And
exactly.
Our father has to make a fear for everyone. We all have to have the same
every pot has to stand on its own bottom. So, you know, in other words, you've got generational, you know, changes, and people change, and people, you know, have different ways that their thinking starts. But everyone has the ultimate decision to make. You know, God gives us that free will. So basically he's saying, okay, you know, you can do this. You can go down this route, and I can see where you're going with it, but you know you're going to end up in some kind of trouble. But here's the thing, what always is, and people don't realize, but all they have to do is turn from the evil way. You know, God God is not decreeing that their death is because they've just stepped over into that wrong path. No, you can always repent and come back, and God will welcome you just like, you know, ever before, because, again, that's the thing. He is a loving God. He is not a God of hate, and he's not a God of punishment. He's not. He's not that kind of God.
No.
Now, he'll allow
he would
you.
Like us.
Exactly. He would like for us to be good. He would like for us to be loyal. He would like for us to be loving, just like him. He wants us, and that's what we mean by the in the image of God, I feel. We're supposed to be loving, we're supposed to be forgiving, and we're supposed to be, you know, letting people know that's what Jesus and God are all about. They're about love, and they're about understanding and compassion. But, you know, again, there's the evilness of this world, and everyone is inherently evil. When we come into this world, we are born evil. Not a good thing. But again, Jesus and God are always there. And if we just get the message, and thank God, some of us have gotten the message and others haven't gotten the message, unfortunately. But, you know, and we're in the days now, Jewel, where, you know, we're almost at the end. End of the game here. And, you know, we haven't gotten the rules of the game yet. We're quickly the gun's going to sound and the race is off, and then we're going to see what happens. And, you know, if you don't know the rules of the game, you know, that's going to be a serious issue. So I think it behooves us, as being on this podcast, of trying to give people reasons for stepping out of that materialistic world and back to the spiritual world. Do you agree?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Thomas, Brother Thomas. I think that, you know, a lot of people on this earth have gotten consumed with either greed, jealousy, envy, all of these things that, you know, every human can becomes susceptible to at some point of their spiritual growth, and some of us actually grow from it, heal from it, and self-reflect and realize, hey, you know, that was a weakness there in my armor, and I didn't realize it, and I gotta tighten up some screws. Because I'm going to tell you, some people do have some screws loose.
That's a topic for a different day. Nice segue there, Jewel. Nice segue. Screws loose.
That's a topic for a different day.
Yeah,
but,
you know,
I really want to emphasize, Thomas, that the things that people may find themselves jealous of and envious of in other people, a lot of times it's something that's lacking in yourself, right?
Right.
Because you look at someone and you say, man, this person seems like they have it all together, or this person seems like they have a closer relationship to Father. And at that point, right, when you come to that conclusion in your mind, there's two roads you can take. Either A, I find a way to learn from them, to get what it is that they acquired, or B, I want to remove them entirely so that I feel better about myself.
Right.
You see what the problem is here? Right?
Oh, definitely I do.
And the problem is, unfortunately, a lot of people are choosing Avenue B, right?
Yeah.
that's insane to me, because if you come across someone that is, you know, they have abundance in whatever portion of their life, you should want to learn from them. You should say, hey, that's someone I would just love to get on an elevator with and pick their brain if possible.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
If your mind is telling you to do anything else of the sort, you need to regroup and realize that the jealousy is taking you down a road that is just, it's not of God.
Well,
right?
it has a thing to do with, you know, the saying is the grass is always greener on the other side, but then when when you get on the other side, that grass ain't always so greener. And so what you're thinking of, because you're looking, well, see, it's another thing of looking from the one side of the glass, you know, and looking at the other side of the glass, or the glass is always half full. I mean, it's perception. And so, you know, those people who are thinking in their minds that their goal is to be just like the Joneses, you know, that's where you get the expression, I'm just trying to keep up with the Joneses. Well, how are the Joneses really behind closed doors? We don't know.
We don't even know what the Joneses are doing.
No, you don't. And you're thinking, too, that, okay, we don't know what they're faced with. I mean, even though they are richer than we are, and we seem to be poor, But what are they facing? What kind of adversities have they got on the other side of that door that we don't realize because of their wealth, what's been given them, the extra responsibility, and maybe it is burdensome. And so they maybe are thinking, you know, I wish I had it easy. And so they're looking at the other side of the fence and say, you know what? I think I like easy versus hard and difficult. Well, you know what? We all have different walks of life, okay? So even though, you know, we may be, some people say we're born with a silver spoon in our mouth. I was never. But anyway, you know, again, some people are. They're thinking that, you know, hey, I just want to stay in my little niche. And then others are saying, well, no, I don't want to get out of my niche. I want to get in your niche. And so when they get over there, they're saying, oh, I don't think I like where I got. But hello, you make that choice. So, you know, the choices you make are the choices you have to live with. And so what I think Jesus wants us to see here is basically that, you know, we do have choices in life. And you can decide, even though you get the riches, you get the wealth and everything, you need to also remember from whence you came, because you got that gift and it was something that you were exactly. And you should make sure that you share that with everyone around you. And those that don't, those that are so selfish and self-centered, then they're the ones that are basically going to suffer because of it. You know, even though they've got the wealth and the recognition and all these kind of things, they're not happy people. They're not happy at all.
No.
Because you know why? Because you know why, too? They don't have Jesus in their life. They don't have Jesus in their life.
Yeah. And then they look someone like yourself, Thomas, or someone like myself, and they're like, well, why are they so happy? It must be something that they have materially. And
they must be drinking something.
Maybe if I take it. Maybe if I take it from them, I will now have happiness. And they try to take it. And they're still sitting there like, well, I'm still not happy. And they're still happy.
Right.
This is what I have. And another thing, Thomas, because I just had this conversation with my son today. It's so funny that you had said, be careful of, you know, thinking the grass is greener on the other side. And I told him that today. And I said, you know what's on the other side? You're going to find out that it's synthetic turf. That's why it looks so green, right? Just like where you play football.
And he
just started laughing. And I'm like, they're not watering that grass. It's fake. And that's why it looks so appetizing. You know, you're like, oh, my goodness, this person has the whole package. They look, you know, like they're all together. But when you start really getting at the core of who the person is and what they would, because I always say this, Thomas, you really find out who a person is when they don't have money, right?
That's true.
Do you
agree
with me?
Because a poor man is genuine in his thinking, in his heart. He appreciates anything that he gets because he knows that he's got very little, you know? And that has to go with what we were talking about, the rich man and the poor man. You know, the rich man thinks, you know, hey, I got everything. I don't have to worry about anything. Well, that don't always be the case. And I think, you know, as we're finding out in this day and time, and soon quickly to be the reality, when everyone loses their monies, and a lot of people are already losing their monies in their accounts, you know, the banks are taking their money illegally, and they have no recourse. There's nobody that's fighting for them. And they're going, this ain't fair. Well, life is not fair, you know. But you've got to be able to, what should they do if they lose everything, Jewel? They should turn to Jesus, should they not? Should they say, Lord, help me. Help me. I was led astray. I thought my riches and my recognition in society would keep me afloat, but it's not, and I don't have anything to sustain me. And the poor man says, yeah, I got you, but I found out a long time ago what will sustain me is I just need to have my life and, you know, a little food on the table, and I'm happy. And so that's how you have the distinguishing thing between someone being poor and happy and someone who being rich and being, you know, depressed and anger, angry. I think rich people have a lot of anger. They really do. Because they're frustrated.
They spend a lot of time wanting to maintain that wealth.
Exactly.
You know, as opposed to just,
and that's hard work.
Enjoying
that's hard
life.
It's hard work. It's hard work trying to maintain, you know, maintain Keeping Up with the Joneses. Oh, my God, we're slipping. We're slipping in our status. You know, we got to do something about it. So then they have to go out and steal something or whatever, you know, to maintain their wealth. No, 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 no. This is the lesson that basically God is saying, you know, the difference in what makes it be the case that, you know, that it's always easier for a poor man to get to heaven than it is for a rich man. And, you know, that's just always part of this story. And I think that's the reason why, you know, we talked about it and thought it would be a really good one as a lesson for people to understand. Everyone knows the story or should know the story about the rich man and the poor man. And that's why, and we're basically, you know, describing the reasons why this has happened is because people who are rich are so caught up in their richness, you know, and they don't see the other side, or they're above it, you know. That had to do with, remember when we had the story about the story about the Good Samaritan. You know, that story has everything to do with it. The rich man passed right on by. Why did he do that? Because, number one, was he concerned about the person? Number one, he wasn't. Number two, he was afraid it was a gun thought he was going to rob him of his riches. Thought it was like a ploy, you know. And I think that has to go with something. If we go to this day and time, I think we see the beggars out there, Jewel. We really do. We see people that are down on their luck, and, you know, you want to help them, but in this day and time, there's deception there. I'll tell you a case in point. A while back, I went to North Carolina with my family at the time, and I kid you not, there was this woman and this man, and basically she came up and she was in a wheelchair. And the man was trying to beg for money, and he was saying, you know, that his wife here had an accident, and then she had lost her leg, and, you know, they were just trying to get back a little bit more better in their livelihood. And we said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I don't have any extra money. I was actually out of the car while they were inside the store shopping. And so I said, I'm sorry. And then apparently they saw the security guard come around. Let me tell you what's happened then. She quickly jumped out of that wheelchair, threw the wooden leg into the back of the truck. They threw the wheelchair in the back of the trunk of the car and hightailed it out of there. So it was all a scam.
Wow.
A scam. Wow. And so that's what I'm saying is, see, a lot of people have been scammed these days. So it makes it harder for us to have compassion. And isn't that just a world screwed up? It really is.
It is. It is, Brother Thomas. I think that, you know, the times that we're living in, unfortunately, people have become so caught up in hoarding what's theirs.
Yes.
This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. That they've lost compassion, they've lost empathy, just natural human traits that kind of should separate us from wild beings. We're not seeing at this time. And you know,
it
of course there's
hard.
A few stories here and there that show up in the news of Good Samaritans, but on a whole, you know, as I'm going through my days, I don't come across as many genuinely good people as I used to.
Well,
I would say when I was a few decades ago. But
I will say
there are a few out there. And actually, I stood behind one the other day in line at the gas station, and the gentleman, you know, he paid for his whatever items he bought in addition to his gas with his cash, and then the woman gave him a few dollars that he had left over in change, and he said, well, I always leave my change to the side for the person behind me in the event that they need it. And I haven't heard that in so long, you know, that it was just
I hear you.
Don't do that.
Well, it's almost like, pay it forward. In fact, they've had some videos out about that where the person is saying, you know, when he gets up there in the line, he's got this, puts his groceries up onto the car, onto the conveyor belt, and he rings it off and he goes, oh my God, I don't have all that much money. And says, sir, your bills are being taken care of. Well, what? How?
Yes.
The person ahead of you just did it, took care of whatever you were going to pay. Which that is a good example of the Good Samaritan in modern day times.
Yes.
When you see somebody that you know that they look like they just simply are very, just getting the very minimal. And then, you know, they know that they're going to be kind of really squirming whether they can pay it or not. And then you got this person who's got more than what they need. And yet they're willing to say, hey, that person behind there, whatever it is, I cover it. You know, just put it on my card. Those days are few and far between. And I think that's what Jesus is basically saying to us. When we've got the opportunity to do something like that, we need to get back to the compassion. And that's kind of hard. It really is in this day and time. And I think something that you were going to lead up to, and maybe this is a good way of segueing into it, is what's going on right now with these illegal immigrants that have come into our country.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's been a hot topic. And actually, I have gotten some feedback. I can't recall the name of the individuals, but they mentioned that they would like to hear us talk a little bit more about current events as well, as we talk about how it relates to Scripture. You know, currently, I know you guys are aware that there's a lot of migrants coming into the United States, and I believe an associate of mine told me that they're also coming into the UK and Canada alike. And a lot of tax dollars has been divvied up and given to these individuals. And it's not just the tax dollars, because, of course, you would think that would, you know, be nice enough. But they're also getting free housing. They're getting transportation, free medical service, in some cases plane tickets to other states, and so forth. Now, those of you who know me, I'm a giver. I'm all about giving. But here's the thing, right? We have citizens in this country, right, right now, that's worked all their life.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they may have come up on hard times.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can't receive, and I'm talking about the average American here, cannot receive all of these benefits that's just being given out to individuals that haven't worked here their entire life seems a bit unfair, right?
Well, basically, the veterans that are the homeless now for whatever reason.
It's a slap in the face to the veterans. And not just that. Now I'm going to take it a step further, because I know I have some of my people of color that also raises their hands and says, hey, you know, I have my ancestors put in a lot of work here. They never got paid for. So how did they arrive here? And they're getting all of the benefits that we're still waiting for the land and the mule. I'm, you know, you guys, you know me. I'm going to keep it 100 across the board of those that I feel should be first in line in receiving these benefits. And the other thing that I'm noticing is that these same benefits are very difficult for those who have worked here to receive. I mean, they put every hurdle in the way. Well, do you have your social? Do you have a photo ID? Urine sample?
Now they want your bank statement. They want a copy of your bank statement. I mean, good God.
But these people just show up with a smiling face and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. And the economy that a lot of us have poured into for years. is just being handed over on a silver platter.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the one thing, one thing that's happening too, that we need to make sure we cover with, and it's just now been in the news, if these people that have been given this opportunity to step over the border and they get their Social Security card and they get their driver, they go get a driver's license and they go buy a weapon and they get free health care and they get $8,000 to $10,000 a month. I wish I could have that. Hello. But I'm just saying these people get all of these things, but still, it's still not enough. Now they're in these cities and they've been housed in these five-star hotels. Now think of a five-star hotel. I've hardly ever been in one. I've been in a four-star before, and that was something. But a five-star?
A lot of us have never been in a five-star hotel. American citizens have not.
Exactly. And so the thing of it with the five-star hotel, here they are. They've been doing that, and they've been living in the lap of a luxury, okay? And on the taxpayer's dime, basically. And what we found out is that these cities basically are blue cities mainly, and they are now saying, hello, help me, I can't do this any longer. We can't afford these people. And so they're saying, we're going to kick them out in 30 days' time. Well, now these people, these ingrates, and that's what I call them instead of migrates, I call them ingrates, because now they're saying, hello, I'm special, you made me special. You know, Papa Joe said I could get $15,000 a month. And we're going, excuse me?
That sense of entitlement is starting to kick in a bit. Which is just like, wait a minute. We've had people that actually worked for Social Security here. And poured in heavy into this economy for years. And then, you know, like I said, if they're down on their luck and they need that extra help, they're made to feel like they're beggars when they've actually poured into this country, right?
What?
They're the ones that should be first online and say,
if you've worked
X amount of years, you've poured in this amount in taxes. And absolutely, if you need help with food, with health care, we're here for you. No, that's not what I'm hearing. As I'm talking to a lot of women who are trying to get help, they're waiting months. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Months for children just to get basic aid. And these people have IDs, they have socials, they've worked hard. What is going on?
Yeah. And now you've got the situation. Now you've got these people angry. So I don't know if y'all realize in the news just recently, they blocked the Golden Gate Bridge. They blocked the Brooklyn Bridge. They've been holding up the airliners, hostage basically, saying, y'all need to do these things for us now. And we're going, excuse me? And now it's going to be riots. And what's going to happen is we're now going to be locked down because the government's going to realize that they created this monster, and this monster has to be fed. And if the monster can't be fed by the government, where are they going to turn to? Us. They're going to be stealing from us. They're going to be breaking in. They're going to be killing, because who were these people when they came across the border anyway? We didn't check out their pedigree, did we? No, we didn't. We didn't check out to see what kind of, you know, because how many of them came out of the prisons? Think about it. You know, they came out of prisons and they came over here. They thought that they were doing something to, you know, basically say, okay, we're going to buy votes here. Yeah, okay then. How is that going to go with it? So you ain't even got an election yet coming and you're trying to buy these people's votes, and now these people are angry. And before we even get to that election time of November, these people are going to be cutting people's throats. And we're going to suffer for it.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what the plan is.
What we're learning here, what the lesson here that we're learning is when things are not done fairly and you're unfairly making one group of people the rich men and the other group of people, the poor men, it's not only going to build up resentment amongst the poor men, but you're also building entitlement from the rich men. And this is why balance is needed, right? Some real honest, thought-provoking balance is needed for us to make these decisions as to where our tax dollars are being allocated. Right?
Yes. I'll tell you what I'm
thinking. There's no reason.
Right. No. What I'm thinking is now we have allowed our government to basically hold us hostage. And we have basically let our government dictate to us where our money is spent. And we've allowed this government to say, no, we're going to hold you down. We're not going to let you get higher in your status in society. And so they're wanting the poor to be poor, and they're wanting the rich to be rich, but where they want to get rid of is the middle class. They don't want to have the middle class. Because what happens with the middle class can say no. The poor man don't going to say no, because he needs anything he can get. And the rich man says, hey, don't touch my stuff, you know. I give you X and X and X and this. But the middle class, that's where they're trying to eliminate, and it's going away really quick. Really quick, because we're finding that the middle class is basically falling into poverty. They are.
Yeah.
Because they're being taxed to the hilt. And I'm just saying, and you know me, I'm not a person of taxing right now. I feel like the Patriots of 1776 were right. No, you don't have no representation, you don't get no taxation. So I ain't gonna pay no monies to them. I'm not.
What we're seeing right now is a lot of people borrowing from Paul to pay Peter just to stay afloat.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know,
and they're having
to
have two or three jobs.
Time.
Yeah, they're having to have two or three jobs. Yes. And you know something so ironic to me is, I don't know if you heard this yet or not, Jewel, and I just thought I'd throw it in there. Do you know that good old Elon Musk, he just laid off 15,000 of his associates?
I'm not surprised.
15,000 associates.
All of these organizations are slowly just laying off vast amounts of employees. If you just
watch
what's happening here, you just have to prepare. And I always encourage people to try to start their own business and become entrepreneurs. I know it's not easy, but we have to start somewhere because
they don't give you no loans. They won't give you a loan. You know, Jill, we used to work for the PPP. You know how bad that was.
We worked for the PPP. But there's other things you can do that have a small startup. And if you are working, I would recommend that you invest. One of the things, of course, it would be, I would suggest a travel business, which is what I'm into. But, you know, I'll do advertisements later. but I do suggest there are some other options that you can invest in. With a small amount, if you still are working and earning money, I want to urge you to do that, and also start taking some money out of the bank. That's another thing.
Get out of that money out of that bank really quick. What I've heard is anybody that's got money in your bank right now, get it out. If you can invest it, go to your local gold, silver. You know where they are, people. Jill, I think you mentioned something about you can now buy gold from Costco. So, you know, hello.
Yes,
get this money out of the bank, because if you don't get that money out of that bank, I mean tomorrow, I'm serious, you won't have it. Because the banks are taking people's monies, and because they've did some faulty loans and they got to try to get the books balanced out, and the best way they feel they can do that is to take your monies. Now, here's the other thing. We're going to that new quantum banking system. And the only way we can get there is when we put everything to zero. So any money that you have in that bank, if you don't get it out, that dollar bill that you've got ain't going to be worth that dollar no more. It's going to be worth zero. And I'll be rude and say something crude, and I'll say, you might as well use that money to wipe your ass with, because that's what it's going to be worth. So, you know, I mean, it's just true.
Mr. Thomas, I know we're trying with the language, but I get it. I totally get it.
I mean, toilet paper. You know, how many people thought about taking $100 bills and, you know, using it as toilet paper? That's what it's going to be worth. So get your monies out. And don't procrastinate here. get it out soon because these banks are folding. JP Morgan just came out and said that they're going to do more closings. The Chase banks are closing. Wells Fargo has already been ripping people off. Bank of America is ripping people off. If you allow these banks to keep your money, you're the one that's going to suffer. So get it out. Invest it in your, go to your local, you know, gold and silver. They're there and they're good people and they're not trying to cheat you. And you can get, invest in the gold and silver, but please, the money's, it ain't going to be worth the ink it's printed on. No, very quickly. So I'm just saying, you know, the days of the rich are fixing to end too, people. So, you know, that's what we were getting back to. The irony is this, Jewel, that those people that have the $2 million and $20 million, you know, incomes and all this stuff, well, when this all crashes, they're going to crash too. In fact, they're saying it's going to be worse than the 1929 crash, that these people will not be able to function. They will be committing mass suicides because they have not, don't have Jesus in their hearts, and they don't have any fallback. And that's going to be sad, really sad.
I know those of you who follow me on LinkedIn, this year I started sharing with you guys that this is going to be the year that the veil will be lifted. And since then, since January, there's been nonstop stories of what a lot of wealthy people have been doing behind the scenes and the crimes and just heinous and diabolical things for wealth. And I think these stories are going to continue to pour out and be exposed. And, you know, like Brother Thomas said, you know, a lot of these wealthy people or people that have been trying to get wealthier have these egos and narcissistic ways about them that I think Brother Thomas is right. They're not going to be able to handle the exposure well. Because it was all a facade. And that's what we were talking about in the beginning of this podcast, is that when it comes down to who a person truly is at the core, right? Where are they centered? If their world is shaken from upside down and they're attacked with arrows from left to right and, they don't have any, will they steal? Will they kill? Will they, just do these diabolical things, traffic children, sacrifice family members? Will they do these things, change wills and steal inheritance? Will they do these things, or will they stand on the word of God, even with a small amount in their pocket, and say, Lord, I trust that you will continue to sustain me, even though I have minimal resources right now? And this is what we are going to see. People have to make that decision and be tested in such a way where you would have to see how would you respond to those trials, right? We all will be tested. It doesn't matter who you are. Even if you think someone has a closer seat to the Father, well, guess what? To get that closer seat means that they had probably more tests, okay? So be careful what you ask for.
Well, the other thing,
we're all going to be tested.
Exactly. Well, the other thing is, too, remember this, you can't buy your way into heaven. And that's what Jesus is saying, you know, and God's saying, too, look here, if you don't got Jesus in your heart, it ain't going to matter what you have, the riches you've had in this world, ain't going to matter nothing in this world. You ain't going to get there. And so they're going to quickly get there really quick this time because we're at the ending times. We're at the ending year, ending of the years. And these people who have basically stepped on people and forgotten about all these people on their climb up that ladder of success, they're all going to be on the same level. And good luck to them.
It's going to be an equilibrium, a balance that has to be made in this new world of ours. We can't continue. The world's not going to sustain being so unbalanced and dealing with so much unrighteousness. It's tilting too far to the left. And this is what's being exposed right now. If you're wondering why is all these stories just piling up, because it's time for balance. There's not going to be any peace. You know, the word says there's no sleep for the wicked. They're up all night, all morning, thinking of other ways to out-manipulate, out-steal, out-curse, out-this. They want to do everything but come out and hurt other people. This is what it's coming to. And those of us that are standing firm in the word, and believe me, okay, people are trying to shake us. They're trying to tell us that, you know, we shouldn't feel worthy to speak about God because we're not perfect. And they're sitting there trying to find imperfections in our speech and trying to find imperfections in how we live. We never proclaim to be perfect. We never do. But we try every day to be better than yesterday. Right?
Exactly.
And that's all that we can Father wants to see is that kind of improvement. You know, we're not out here trying to harm anyone. We're not out here trying to steal from anyone, plotting to kill anyone, harassing anyone, stalking anyone. This is not what's on our to-do list on a day-to-day basis. And so this is why you may see peace within us, because we wake up in the morning with knowing that we have the blessing of the Lord over our lives.
Amen.
And we want to share that with you. Amen, Brother Thomas?
Yes, ma'am. I say my belief prayer every morning.
I just had to put it out there.
Yes, ma'am. I've had that belief prayer every morning. And I say, God, you have control of my day. Let me tell y'all, people, when you let your day be controlled by God, whoo-wee, it's so much easier. You get your victory every day. Mm-hmm. You do. And you don't have that pressure, and you don't have that burden on your shoulders.
Yeah.
How heavy that burden is on your shoulders. And I tell you, I wouldn't want to be a rich man for nothing in this world. I tell you, Jewel, I really wouldn't. I wouldn't want to, because they have too many burdens on their shoulders. Ooh, Lordy, I wouldn't want it. I'd rather have my simple life. You know, I love having, you know, the things that I've given, and if God wants to give me more things, that's fine and good, because I will accept those, because it's from God. But if I feel I have to go, if I have to make a decision and I'm going this route here, okay, and there's a right and there's a left, I'd rather go to the right way, which is Jesus' way, instead of going the left way, which is the devil way. And so I'm not going to make that decision, you know, and go the devil way, because I see, well, I can get those riches really fast and really quick this way, but there's going to be a payday someday. Whereas if I go the way of Jesus, well, you know what? I can see what he's given me, and it's enough for me to sustain my life. But I know one thing, and then one thing is this. I'm going to go to heaven. The person who goes to the left, they ain't got that choice. They ain't got that choice, because if they choose the devil, at the end of times, people, it says this, when Jesus comes again, and let me tell you, he's coming soon, he's going to come and he's going to say, okay, are you allegiant to the Lord, or are you allegiant to the devil? And your actions speak louder than your words. And let me tell you something, they're marking it down. They see what's done. They see what people do. You know, that rich man, he says, well, I did. Yes.
I'm going to tell you something, Brother Thomas. I never say I don't want wealth, right? Because Father has a way of turning things around, and you can't tell Father what to do. But I can tell you one thing that Father said, and that is the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And if we trust in his word, then those of us who are walking righteously, we should prepare that it's a good possibility that wealth may come our way somehow, some way. And I'm not going to refuse it, because obviously Father may think that my righteous ways, I may be able to handle it and give it out accordingly to those in need.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that he builds up this ministry. And Thomas, I'm hoping he builds you up, because you have such a good heart, brother, that I know wouldn't let someone go hungry and someone hurt.
No.
And those are the people that our Father would like to put the wealth in those hands. And so I just hope that with this turnaround that's happening after this eclipse, that wealth is put up for the righteous and can start making more moves, not just within the ministry, but within our own personal lives, so that we can pour
day-to-day decisions.
Out
yes.
Into
yes.
our
day-to-day
community
decisions.
And pay it back and yeah. you know, be the ones to pay for someone's gas behind us.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Or like when
so
whenever you know what happened.
Putting
with
out
wealth.
That energy, that frequency of, yeah. of wealth and abundance. I hope
well.
It because money is energy, and that's you know what? We could go into a whole nother topic on that, but what you put out, it'll come back. And if you put it out with the peace and understanding that you want it to return back to you abundantly, then you give abundantly. And that's just the message. I like to help those that are in need, and I like to give abundantly when I can. And trust that the Lord will restore me and give me back that same energy that I poured
right.
out. And so I recommend
right.
that to you all as well.
Yes. I agree. Well, Jewel, you know,
said,
by the clock on the wall, it's saying, you know, that we've, once again, we're long-winded people. I'm so sorry. And
we've gone over time again.
We try to limit it. But we have such a good time talking to y'all, and it's just like we're sitting around a campfire, you know, and we're just saying these words, and we just want y'all to feel encouraged by it. That and realize this, you know, that the rich man, you know, he's gonna have his time. He is, and know these things. And we feel like there's so much unfairness going on right now, but God has our back, and God hears us. And so don't stop praying and don't stop believing. You know, God is the ultimate decision maker here. He's the one that's coming. The judgment day is coming. Trust me, that judgment day is coming. And you got to make sure that you got that life in the right direction. And I'll tell you one thing,
absolutely.
Jewel, what I now see is here, you know, going for 3 weeks with $1 in my wallet and people going, say, what? Yeah, y'all try that sometime. That's fun. You talking about putting faith in God. Woo-hee! Yeah, I got some faith, let me tell you. Because even going out and, say, getting into the car, like I took Cleo to walk the other day and had to go to the car and do it. I said, well, Cleo, I just hope we get there because if something should happen, Lord, I got $1 in my wallet. They won't even get me, you know, anywhere. And you think about that. That's stepping out on faith, is it not? It truly is. And I tell you, it was reassuring to say that we were able to go through our little adventure and get back home, and I'm going, wow, thank you, God. Because even the little things like that, you start appreciating. Because when you don't have money and you can't buy the things that you think you need or the necessities that you think you need, it's like I've got less than a quarter of a tank of gas in my car right now, and I'm not looking to get my money back from an issue that happened with my Social Security debit card until the 24th. Well, I'm on God. I'm on God's time.
Yes.
And I'm so glad I get up every morning and I say that prayer, Jewel, I swear. You know, if I didn't have that prayer to fall back on, if I didn't realize that God has my back and he takes care of me, and that's what we need to realize. God is there. God loves and Jesus lives, and that's all we need to talk about. You know, if we have everything else that's going wrong in our lives, well, hell, there's something, the reason why you're not that way is because you ain't turned it over to God. And like I said before in another podcast, I said, we try to think that God has limits or he sets limits. No, 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 no. God is limitless. We're the ones that have the limits. And so when we say, yo, God, we'll take care of this little thing. You take care of the big things. Just let it all, let God have all of it, please. You'll be so much happier.
Amen.
That's all I'm going to say.
Amen.
I'm finished.
Close out with my final comments on today's topic, I just want to share some comments and feedback that was given. It was given for our last podcast together, Thomas. I saved it for you to hear. So Sister Natsis stated 2 weeks ago that the podcast we did for A Voice for the Voiceless was very nice. Mr. Taylor stated it was a great message.
Ooh.
Reverend Freeman stated, please keep up the good work. And our dear friend and ongoing supporter, Mr. Duggan, inquired about when our next podcast is coming out. So I do appreciate you listening. And we took a little 2-week break, but I appreciate
sabbatical.
You putting
a little
it out
sabbatical.
There. That you're Yes, yes, we took a little sabbatical, and I'm glad that Mr. Duggan is following us so closely and looking forward
wow,
to our messages.
It's encouraging.
So, you should get this one shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very encouraging. With that said, I'm going to close out, and I just want to remind you all that, you know, in Matthew 19:24, I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.
Woo.
And that's because a camel,
that's
of course,
painful.
Is one of the largest animals, right, Jesus'
yeah.
followers were familiar with. And the hole of a needle was likely the smallest hole they had seen.
Yeah.
Hence,
mm-hmm.
it would be easier for a giant beast to squeeze itself through a millimeter wide opening than for a rich
mm-hmm.
man to get himself into heaven.
Mm.
Something for you to reflect on, because
when you see a needle.
is often so focused on accumulating material wealth and not focused
yes.
on God the Father.
Yes, got that.
So I just wanted to leave you guys with that thought in your mind as we close out. You know, you guys are amazing. I definitely appreciate all of your support. And please continue to donate to our ministry, either online
yeah.
or directly at fundraisingcup.org ministries. You can also call
you
directly
all?
At 6. Yes?
Are you going to say a prayer at the end here so we can... Give the said people some food for thought with a prayer?
Yeah, sure. Sure, I can close
okay.
out with prayer. Let me finish. Call us directly at 615-205-5657. As you all know, I mentioned to you guys before, I have a travel business. Definitely reach out to me. Quick advertisement if you need travel. I will hook you guys up. And mm-hmm. I'm going to also leave you guys with one of my memorable gems, which I left on the last podcast that is finished, which is to reflect on when you think of this podcast, I want you to remember that every experience, good or bad, adds value just like
mm-hmm.
a jewel.
Amen.
Its true worth shines in the right light. Okay? So
yeah.
just remember that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to close out with a quick prayer because I know we're running over time and many of you, you all, I want to put you guys in the right zone before we leave. So I'm going to ask Heavenly Father to continue to use both Brother Thomas and myself as vessels, mere vessels, to relay the messages that he has set forth even before our time to all of you to do the right thing and to make the right decisions day to day. Heavenly Father, help all of us as we choose you over abundance, over wealth and material things of this world. Help us to see that you are the creator of all things, and you can restore us even when we don't even understand how we're going to get by. We can trust that you will carry us through. You have done so before, and you'll continue to do so again. We thank you, dear Lord, for all of your mercies, your grace, your forgiveness, the lessons that we've learned along the way. We thank you for those who brought tests to us, even though at times it may have upset us. They were all part of the journey, and we are very grateful and thankful that you sent them to us for us to learn from not just their
mm-hmm.
mistakes, but our very own. Dear Lord,
yeah.
continue to be the light in our life, day in and day out,
yeah.
as we give our energy to you. In the name
yeah.
of Jesus, Yeshua, amen.
Amen,
thank
amen.
You guys. Thank you for supporting us, supporting the ministry. Remember, we're backed by fundraisingcup.org. We hope to hear more feedback. And until we meet again, amen and goodbye.
Bye-bye.